I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The following podcast may contain some strong language and adult themes. If you've got young children around, maybe save it until they've gone to bed. If you really don't like bad words, this pod probably isn't for you.
Welcome to the Making of the Numbers podcast. The Making of the Numbers podcast is sponsored by Hope Technology, JTEC Suspension, Revolution Bike Park, Ride Southern Spain, Schwal, and the world's finest independent mountain bike magazine, Single Track. Previously on the Making of the Numbers podcast.
Stumped out. And I like track launch. I'm like, yep, I'm going to grease that. No problem. First practice run, pull up just to have a look. Two juniors, I think, pull it. One of them just cartwheels like right in front of me. And I was like, oh shit, this is actually quite gnarly. And then I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll just roll down. I'll do it next lap. So I rolled down, next lap, come in. I think someone was stopped, like heaps of people were stopping to look at it. So I just stopped again. Saw another person cartwheel and I was like, oh, maybe this isn't the one, because I saw that was hitting it and getting kicked. And that was almost the point in the mindset with like retirement, because I was like, normally it didn't matter. It's faster, I'll pull it. And that was a time where I didn't do it. And it was, it was just kind of, I started thinking, it's like, oh, the old Dean would have done that. And I was like, I just don't want to do that anymore, kind of thing, because it was just sketchy.
If I have the fire and I feel ready, I'm really good. I feel like, for example, Léger 22, I had my heart, everything, wanted to do it for the fans, for the day, for the history. Like everything was just clicking, aligning on that day. Like the weather was good, the crowd was big, my bike feels good. I felt like I was the fastest of the whole week. And then I was like, okay, I can do it. And I want to do it so bad. And then it might sound bad, because sometimes you may think that I don't want to win, but I don't want to win as much as some other time. And then when it's that time, maybe Amaury, Loris, or Finn, or whatever, will want to win more than me. And then because we're so close, that small difference of will is making a difference. Like Finn in Mont-Saint-Anne, he wanted to win so bad in 22. No one could have won that race, yeah. I think.
You know, if I could get some consistent runs and get the bike working, I still have what it takes to win. And that never really wavered. So to me, it's like, well, just another setback. It's just a matter of time. We'll get it back on track. Just keep cruising down the road. So that's what we did. But it's not easy in the moment. Definitely tough.
Season 6, episode 1 of the podcast, and we are go for launch on the 2024 World Cup season. And I'm delighted to say that joining us today for a special preview episode, let's give a big welcome back to the show to Mr. Wheelie Wednesday. Wim Masters, how are we doing, Chief?
Yeah, we're doing good. Just trying to work out our way to Heathrow Airport to pick Flinty up and his family because they're going to live with us for the season. But yeah, I don't often say no to things.
No, I think that I should tell the listeners this episode could be absolute carnage. We've tried to record it once already on Tuesday and we had to bail on it. Your mechanic winners, one of Jack's friends, Mauricio, has broken his leg and left you try to sort out a load of bikes.
High and dry, pretty much. So it sucks for him. He's got pretty serious injuries. But he was kind of my right hand man at this point, and now I've only got one hand. So yeah, we're kind of stuck.
Yeah, well, but, get well soon, Mauricio.
Yeah, at the moment, shout out to the Standing Trails group. They're helping me out. Got off the trails group for building my bikes for me. So I was kind of stuck. So yeah.
Cool. And you're currently, so it's Friday morning now, we're trying to record this. Jack's got back from Portugal at midnight last night. I've come in from a shoot at 10:30. And you're currently on your way to Heathrow Airport to pick up Blenky and family, who might join us for some of this podcast.
Yeah, I'm just coming into the airport now. So
So you've just been out to the States. Tell us a bit about Sea Otter.
Sea Otter was once again a good week in the sun. I kind of always enjoy going to Sea Otter. It's like the one time you get to see all of the US side of the industry, and it cuts your emails down to a whole lot. Just be able to speak to people for 5 minutes rather than send 100 emails back and forth to get nowhere.
So, brand ambassador role for GT. Have you missed doing that first block of pre-season training?
Oh, I haven't done much, I'll be honest. I've been on David Life.
Yeah.
And trying to get the bikes and everything ready for the season without a mechanic. So, haven't done a whole bunch.
When you say bikes, who are those for?
I've got one junior, Luke Wayman from New Zealand.
Yeah.
And then I've got a privateer every race, so that can be up to 8 bikes for the season. So it's quite a lot of product to have to get together.
That was going to be my next question. What's the plans for the privateer project?
Same as, just keep ticking along and helping. We've got a mechanic now. I've got a new mechanic, so we'll have up to 8 bikes for the whole season. So yeah, it should be good.
Cool. And who's your first rider at round one?
First rider is Gabriel Neuron. He's a Canadian guy, and he did really well at Montsenand, so he won the privateer award at Montsenand. So he's the first guy for the season.
Cool. Well, best of luck with that. So not only are we celebrating the 5-year anniversary of the podcast with this episode, but Jack's also celebrating a new home out in Portugal. Tell us a bit about that, mate.
Yeah, it's been coming for a while. Obviously, I spend a lot of time out there training and running the camps, and we're developing the bike park, and my business partner, Mark, lives there. And we kind of, over the last few years, been in and out of his apartment, my camper van, my mate's bike shop, Andre. Shout out to him, who has kept things kind of feasible for me, alongside Mark. And it just got to a point where we just needed a base for myself and staff, and we've managed to find somewhere that is really good. Your money goes a long way in Portugal on property, especially in that area. So it's even going to be the full base for the camps in terms of accommodation for the clients and things like that. So obviously there's a fair bit of work that needs to be done to the house. So we picked the keys up just over a week ago. And my old man's been flat out. He's a really good kind of builder in any trade, really. So we stayed in it as a family for the last 4 days after the camp finished. My wife and Blake came out, and we were there for a few days just sussing out the various quirks that my dad's got to deal with. We had no water for the, well, we couldn't use the showers or anything because we had a plumbing issue. So me and Ruben had to like dig out the septic tank at like 10 at night one night. And yeah, we've had some fun. It's a good job. We all just like cracking on and getting on with it. Let's just say that. But it's going to be amazing. Like, it's a big property. You can sit in the garden, have a coffee and look at the top of the bike park. And if you had some binoculars, you'd watch people hitting jumps. So it's perfect location. It's on the uplift road. And for next winter, we'll have it fully feasible and fully usable for clients as well as us. So yeah, I'm absolutely knackered again. We've had a really good camp, raced on that island and got the keys for the house and done a lot of stuff. And it's been sick, but happy to be home for a few days, kind of reset.
Yeah, I get you, mate. But that sounds wicked. We're also celebrating because I bloody did it. I needed a little bit of good fortune, but I made it onto my first ever podium at the Riola National over here in the UK. And not only that, but Petey was on the box too, which was the icing on the cake. Cheers, Steve. Proof that if you ever needed it, that if you hang in there and keep trying, eventually it might take the best part of 10 years, but good things will happen.
That coaching session, Roger.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say one session with you, Jack. It was back in October and we were on the box. You were second at the weekend in the Portuguese National in the Azores. I'm going to be honest, mate. It didn't look a patch on Riola, you know.
No, it didn't. But honestly, part of it was more difficult. That you race down the side of a volcano is absolutely insane. It's one of the most like spectacular locations I've ever been to. Everything was just awesome. But the one thing that the organizers kind of had wrong is they're limited. I believe they're limited on what they can do to the track by like the forestry kind of whatever. So the top section, which is incredibly steep, it was also very narrow. And what they'd decided to do was put these weird, like concrete, like slabby things in the ground.
Yeah.
Now the dirt's quite soft and it had a bit of moisture in. So all it meant was in every single corner, ruts developed outside these and inside these concrete things, which was just incredibly dangerous and super difficult to ride. So as the weekend went on, the track went through many different changes. The fair play to them, they went up on Saturday evening after we all spoke to them. I mean, we all volunteered to jump on the tools with them to help, but they went up and did what they could Saturday evening. Sunday morning for first laps, the track was just amazing. But then by second run, it was just gone again from people skidding down and creating these kind of death ruts. So the venue is absolutely amazing. We'll definitely be going back. The track is really good. It's just that top section. They need to do a little bit of a design change on how they're building it.
I was being sarcastic, by the way, when I said it didn't look a patch on Riola.
I know you were, but actually, I was dreading race run. Like,
weird.
I crashed in seeding just simply because I crossroaded in one of these concrete death ruts at the top. I crashed like 15 seconds from the start gate, flipped the bars like down into some bushes. And we went and walked the whole top section before race run and pulled out like logs and moved some of the stuff that was going to potentially like wipe you out through no fault of your own. Cause you were coming over like blind crests or so. Honestly, like parts of it were way harder than Star Wars. It was nuts. but yeah, the rest of it obviously was not a patch on Riola. Beautiful weather, beautiful location, all that stuff.
And have you wrapped up the series out in Portugal now?
I don't think so. I mean, if I do well at Boticas, it'll be done. But there'll be a round at the end of the year that I won't go to. I think as long as I just kind of get the job done in Boticas, it'll go well. But I did kind of think this morning, actually, it was either this morning or last night, I was like, I haven't won one because the first one I won wasn't part of the series.
Right. Okay.
It's never nice winning a series if you haven't won a race, is it? So it'll be interesting at Boticas who's there. I know Nuno will be there, obviously, and Rue, and it'd be nice if Gonzalo's there or someone like that to try and actually win one. But yeah, I mean, good one in Boticas, that should be it.
And she's sat there patiently waiting to speak. Have you celebrated anything, Emmy?
Actually, yes, because I think the race in Sandia, that little regional race that took place, that was after the podcast we did before with Jess, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so Cam won there.
Right.
And that was good. That was the first race back she won. So we celebrated a bit of that. But also, I've got my first year junior kid that I coach from home. That he got third in the juniors and he got 13th overall. So he was like in front of a lot of elite riders that usually qualify and he's only 16. He's getting 17 in December. So he's like really young and he rode amazingly. And top 15 in that race, he was like in front of Rafael Iniguez and these guys that are really like
wow,
quite established as well. So yeah, I was really pleased with the way he rode and he's going to do his first World Cup in Fort Williams. So.
And what's his name?
Marius Krenbühl, yeah, is a young Swiss kid from my hometown, and yeah, it was really sick that he got put on a podium there, and he was like a bit overwhelmed as well with riding with Benoit and all the stuff. So it was cute, and yeah, that was a good weekend of celebrating, cool. For sure.
And are you celebrating getting Cammy back from training camp?
Oh yeah, celebrating. No, it's a big word, but yeah, it's always good that she comes back. She's come back. Always since the injury, always a bit tired from training camp, obviously. So yeah. I'm being a very good housewife when she comes back. And then, but she's doing really well. She's managing her energy levels way better than she was when she was in New Zealand when shooting for Shimano. She was in a way worse spot than she is now. So, that was good to have her back and have her rest a little bit.
Cool. And when are you flying over to the UK?
On Monday. And the team is picking me up in Edinburgh, and we'll drive up from there.
Cool. Well, the first World Cup of the season is now just days away. I'm going to try and get up to Fort William, although I won't be paying the €600 fee Warner Brothers Discovery wanted to charge me to cover the event. So I might not make it in, but I will try. Let's start with the men's then. Last season in the World Cups and World Champs, we had 8 different winners in 9 races. Jackson took 2 rounds, Jordan Williams, Andreas Kolb, Thibaut Dupréla, Benoit Collange, Ashino Callahan, and Loic Bruni took 1 round each, with Loic taking the overall and Charlie Hatton world champs. The field's so deep now, with Jackson out, do you think it's going to be that open again this season? Start with you, Jack.
Yeah, I was having this conversation with someone the other day, and I mean, I'd stick with what I said last year. I think there'll probably be almost every round won by a different person. And I can see Loic just winning the overall again. Just so consistent. Always delivers, always on his game. But you're going to have people like Kolb, Benoit, Laurie, Jordan, Finn, the list is endless. Pierron, who were winning rounds and then crashing at others, injuries. So yeah, that would be my prediction, really.
Emmy, you agree with that?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, it all depends on Amory for me. If he's like, I've seen it with me, like if you come back from injury and I really feel good, I could be better than before. So it really depends on him. If he's really like really motivated and he can find his speed back, it could like dominate, I think, because he's done it in the past. And I think he's the only one that can challenge like someone that consistent as like, it doesn't mean he's going to win the overall, but he might win more than one round, you know?
Yeah.
Because his raw speed is just incredible. And yeah, you never know with Loic, like in this preparation races, he's never like on his top game. And then also that race in Saint-Dié, he got, I think, second or third, Benoit beat him. And also maybe Antoine Pierron beat him. So it's just like he's always up his game. But I don't know if Fort William is the best round to start for him. And depending how that goes, it's got to define how it's the first round goes as well, because with him it's all about confidence. So it's really, really hard to tell, but I wouldn't underestimate Amory, because what he's done, like almost also Loic couldn't do it, like win by such margin and also like at so many rounds. So
yeah,
I don't know, maybe it would be cool to see a new winner each round, but I'm not sure it's gonna happen this year.
No. What do you reckon, when?
Yeah, I'd love to see Loris finally click. I think it's just kind of been a long time coming. So if he can get the right mental game to deliver a whole season and battle with Loic, that would be pretty cool. But Loic's definitely the favorite, and he seems to deliver when the pressure's on. So he can come whatever place at any other race. It doesn't matter. He just delivers when it's the big show. So he's definitely the favorite.
Don't you think with Loris, if he's going to win it, Loic would have to be out? If it comes down to Loris and Loic's going to win.
Yeah, Loic is very good at playing with Loris's head. So, but I'd like to see Loris just turn things around once, you know?
Yeah, same.
If he got one up on him, he probably then would be away and running, you know?
Yeah.
He's just never been able to do that yet, but everything is there to do that. I think Amory, it's pretty tough task to come back from that injury and come out straight away and be in the battle to win. And then Laurie should start the season really strong for William, because he's missing Jackson, so pressure's on a bit more, maybe.
Yeah. So with Jackson out for a big chunk of the season, the syndicate have signed second-year elite Ollie Davis, who had a breakout season in 2023 with 4 top 20 finishes in 6 races. He was registered with Commensal Schwalbe. Did anyone see that coming?
Strange move, isn't it?
Yeah. Is he that hot prospect amongst you guys?
He's looked really good on the bike on all the practice sessions, and he has that good posture that normally delivers results.
Yeah.
And I guess Syndicate's almost signing all the small riders now, so maybe that's their secret. Maybe there's becoming a thing that a rider's size and weight is it making a difference. I think finally it seems like, you know.
Yeah. And what do you think, Emmy? Did you see that coming? Because you've got connections with Commensal.
Well, I know that Commensal was trying to find a way to sign Antoine Pierron, right. And they didn't know where. And also, Oli, I think the whole union team last year won Santa Cruz. Now they switched to track, but I think he rode the V10 last season all the time. So maybe like they were like, look at this. People that rode Santa Cruz last year, and they were like, yeah, Oli seems like a good prospect for us to have like at a reasonable price or whatever. And then Commensal would have been like, oh yeah, now we have a spot for Antoine. So I think everybody was getting happy in the end. Yeah. And it's a great opportunity for Oli Davies. But yeah, it's definitely a little bit surprising and a lot of pressure on Oli, but I think he was really good last year. So with Laurie, he can learn a lot and improve as well. Whatever happens for 25, then.
Yeah, we'll see. So I know you racers hate this question, but if you were to offer Loic a podium in Fort William now, do you think he'd take it?
I reckon he hates Fort William, doesn't he? As Emmy just said, if he gets a solid start, confidence, I reckon he would.
Yeah, I do as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I just remember asking Cam that question and her saying, well, not being too happy with me about asking it because she wants to win every race. That's what racers do.
Oh, she would take it definitely now.
Oh, right.
Like 100%. She would be like, yep. Definitely now the circumstances are changing. I think it would be a good start.
So there's a group of riders who make up the top 10. We've just talked about Loris a little bit. There's Finn Isles, Dak Norton, Laurie Greenland, plus some of those race winners from last year and a host of others. Who do you think needs to have a good year this year, Win?
Well, I'd say Laurie, because he's pretty much, he's got to take up Jackson not being there. And then also Fort William last year, he was really good, but he was sick at the time. So I think he's got a lot of potential. And then I'd say Dak Norton as well, because he's now the lead rider for Monjaka, so in theory, and then he needs to kind of deliver, and I guess he's at the age where it kind of has to happen, you know? So he should be in a good position to go for an overall spot, I'd say.
Cool. Is the pressure off someone like Benoit or Andy Kolb or Charlie because they had such a good season last year?
I think the pressure's never off if you're a top rider for a team. And they almost probably want to have the pressure because then they've got to put everything into it. So, I'd say the pressure's never off. They all want to deliver those results. So,
And none of them have won an overall yet. They're all capable of it. So that's going to be their focus. So, yeah. Pressure's ramping up, if any.
Charlie has the stripes on. I mean, if you have the stripes on.
Normally that doesn't help people, though.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. The way he rode at Rayola, I know it's just a British national, but he looked like he was just walking on water. Everyone was struggling and he just absolutely destroyed the field. I know Breedon was quite close, but it was certainly a strong start from him.
I remember last year at Fort William before he won, I was talking to his mum and I said to his mum, he just needs to believe in himself. And she agreed with me. And I think, you know, obviously winning world champs gives you that confidence, doesn't it?
But
I think he could really push on this season. I think the team I'm most excited about seeing this season is the Mondraker team. You've just mentioned Dak, but also Ronan Dunn and 2023 junior overall winner Ryan Pinkerton. How do you guys think they'll get on?
Yeah, I think it's a really exciting team. I was talking with someone the other day and I could see Ronan winning a World Cup this year. And obviously, as Wynn said, theoretically, Dak is the lead rider on that program. So with Ryan right there as well, you would think there's going to be some big results from that team, the riders pushing each other and potentially, you know, some race wins. None of them have won a elite World Cup yet. And you could theoretically at the end of the year be looking at a bunch of podiums and maybe some wins. So,
yeah, I've got Ryan Pinkerton in my Pinkback Fantasy League team.
Yeah.
He's cheap, man. He might not be cheap after Port William, though.
You've got Amory in there as well, haven't you?
I've got Amory, I've got Charlie, and I've got Ryan. He's been so like when you watch practice, like if you're on the sidelines, is obviously like quicker than the other junior last year. But then when he can have a good race, he would win the race, but sometimes he just makes mistake. But with this team now around him, because he kind of was the lead, right? Well, there was Ethan there, but he was not always like kind of healthy. So he was kind of having a lot of pressure at GT. So I think now with the two guys that are like with him in the team, he could also like be in a real good underdog position for him to perform even better. So it would be so interesting to see what he does.
Can you win the team overall without a female rider?
Actually, I was thinking about that one, and I think it can be done by Specialized by like example, but it's only done because Makov didn't have their full roster. Like if Miriam is healthy,
yeah,
and the team that have a female is complete, I think it would be really hard for them to do.
Yeah.
Because with Nina on the syndicate and Miriam in the Makov, and Dorval with Cam and Benoit and potentially Monica and Baptiste, it would be tough because it's like there's a very consistent riders. And I think the men's are more, if you take out Loic and Loris and all these guys are very consistent, the guys are very like up and down. And the ladies are more consistent in top five. So the points are a lot straight coming in, you know. So even though you get a bit less points for like a top five woman than men, it would be really hard if all the teams are complete for Specialized to win without a woman. But we'll see. Like I hope that we're gonna see a season with less injuries than last year, because it will be so exciting to watch. So fingers crossed for that.
Cool. Reese Wilson's back, and I had a chat with him in Riola. He's hungry. We all know what Reese can do, but what do you think is kind of a realistic ambition if you've been injured for 2 years? Start with you, Wyn.
I think just getting started, really. But the worst thing maybe for him is that his first race is at Fort William in a home race. So he won't be expecting to just get started.
Yeah.
He's going to want to be on the podium, but I think that's a pretty tough task. But he's been pushing up Scottish mountainsides all winter, so maybe it's going to pay off. There's probably not many downhill riders that do so much push-up runs as Reese or any of that crew, because me and Brayton were having a joke about riders pushing downhill bikes up mountains. It's not really a thing elsewhere in the world.
No.
So, yeah, he seems to know a bit of that, and the clips have been looking good, but the tracks he rides in the clips are a little bit slower and a lot tighter, so, yeah, not quite the same, but he does make it look pretty impressive.
Yeah, all the guys are scared of him. All the guys are scared of him. I remember when you were in New Zealand, Benoit was like, oh, no, Reese posted a video now. It looks so quick. Like, they're literally like, Benoit was saying how he was like almost thinking and following Reese, because he was like, every time he posts something, it looks so quick. So he was like, oh man, I can't watch this. I need to unfollow him so I don't get like confidence issue, because yeah, he's a rider that is kind of feared by the top riders because of his skills. So it will be interesting to see what he does. But yeah, it was just a funny fact.
He's winning the Instagram competition for the off season.
Yeah. Yes.
I didn't know that. What do you reckon, Jack? Where's Reese going to finish in Fort William?
It's a funny one for me, because like obviously I've known Reese for many, many years, and for most of those years he was a fairly mid-pack rider, and then we came back after COVID and he's had 2 years of, you know, lots of success, the World Champs, the World Cup podiums, the World Cup win, and then disappeared again. So my big question is it done? Like, is he ever going to come back? Like, as everyone's just said, so fast, so talented. But is the headspace there? Is that going to return? So I genuinely don't know. Like, I wouldn't want to guess either way which way it would go when we get going again.
So we chatted a bit about Thibaut Duprella on the last episode, and it took me 2 weeks to get that episode signed off. So we're not going to chat about him again. Otherwise, this episode won't be out until after Fort William. But one question, could he seriously challenge as a privateer, or is it just too difficult now without factory support?
It depends what kind of privateer you are. Like, as I think I mentioned already on one of the other episodes, I've spoke with ESO about pit space for anyone who's not registered with the UCI, and I now know that the car park will be a kilometre away from Fort William, Nevis Range, base, and whatever. And if you're there on your own as a genuine privateer, then that's going to be tough. you're going to need a parent with a backpack with some tools, and you're going to need a lot of luck and hope that you don't damage a lot of things. But that's not going to be a situation, is it? He will be in someone's pit, and he will have a mechanic with him, and he will have nice accommodation. And, you know, so this privateer word is branded around, and it's not really, you know, there's different levels of privateer, and he's not going to be an out and out privateer. So the short answer is, yeah, of course he can challenge. He's fast, and he's probably going to come out one improved point on the bike.
It does feel like there's a bit of a changing of the guard going on at the moment with some younger riders coming through. Obviously, there's Jackson and there's Jordan leading the charge. I saw Jordan at Riola and he looked like he'd bulked up a bit. Chatted to his dad, Steve, as well, and he was telling me that Laurent told him to take a break this winter, get off the bike for a bit, which he's done. How important is it for these riders to take a break, Emmy?
Oh my God, like I told you, I'm coaching this 16-year-old kid. And I couldn't getting off the bike. Like, it was insane. Like, you know, like we had a good September, October before it got real bad with the weather. And I was like, dude, please, like, don't ride your downhill bike. At least, like, you can go ride a little bit. And he just couldn't do it. I was like, yeah, but my mates are going this and there. Bike box was still open in September. So it was a mess. So yeah, it's definitely really important to get these young people that are so hungry off the bike, so they can do some teenager things, you know, like, or like post-teenager things, like just relax a little bit in the head and not to have too much pressure on themselves, and yeah, just enjoy life and then come back stronger for something that's like a long preparation, like December or like mid-November to May is a long time, you know, to be motivated and hungry. So for some of them, they're still in school or like doing something else on the side, so it's like, it's not easy. So it's definitely important for these young kids to have time to be just a young person in this world. But yeah, it's hard to get them off the bike for sure.
Jack, are you trying to get them off the bike, or are you encouraging them to ride?
I'm trying to get them off their phones, man. Like,
oh, TikTok, that's also an issue.
Scrolling, like the amount of times at races where we're either on track walks or... And I'm like, put your fucking phone down. Like, yeah, that's an issue. I mean, for a lot of the guys I coach, bike time's really important because, as Emmy's just described, she's coaching a kid who's potentially going to already excel at world level, whereas with running the Gravity School, a lot of the kids, they want to do that, but they're not there yet, and we're trying to teach them that. So bike time is obviously an essential ingredient. So a lot of the time coming home from trips, if we've had a lot of bike time while we've been away or whatever, I will kind of say, look, remember that we need to kind of get you guys stronger. So make sure you're factoring in some gym work. But I'm quite happy for the guys I'm coaching to be getting as much bike time as they can, just simply because they need to get their 10,000 hours in as quick as they can. So,
yeah.
But again, as I just said, it's a lot of that depends on the level of rider. And I totally agree. Like sometimes just going away from it helps. I mean, I found it this, it's totally different, but I found it this winter with CrossFit where some of the kind of technique-y stuff, the gymnastics-y stuff on the rig, I'll be struggling with it when I'm there for like a solid couple of weeks or whatever. I'll go away for a week, come back and I can do what I couldn't do before. Just simple. So I've gone back in with a fresh head. So I think it's the same on the bike. You get that nice break and you're almost better.
So now's a good point to mention that I'm doing a little bit of a vlog this season from some of the UK races. Just started out as a bit of fun, really. But it ended up me interviewing a load of riders at round one in Riola. And there's an interview on there with Jordan. So if you go on YouTube, it's on, just search for Making Up the Numbers. And he was telling me that he'd had a crash out in San Remo. So he wasn't chasing the win at Riola, but he would be fighting fit for Fort William. He was the fastest qualifier at the National up there last year. He smoked everyone at round one last year. He's on the new bike. What do you think Jordan's chances are next weekend?
Well, we all thought he had no chance at Lenzerheide and he went and won, didn't he? So,
yeah.
Who knows? He didn't want to rule him out.
Yeah. Who's going to finish top on that team this season?
Bloick.
God, what a question.
Emmy's got a head in her hands.
No, but like... It's so funny, this dynamic in this team. Like, obviously, it started a bit spicy last year with, like, Jordan taking the win, and both of the others were like, oh, my God, like, did that just happen? So it fired Finn and Loic up to just prove him that they're going to be faster. So if it's the other way around, I don't know how it's going to be, you know. So maybe Jordan will start not winning, but then he will be like in the underdog position again. So he, I think he likes that position. So it's going to be really interesting to see.
Yeah.
But it's definitely going to be up for grabs. Like, who's the fastest specialist guy is going to be a cut, like a challenge every weekend, and they're going to be fighting for it. And also have him on the prototype. We'll see how it adjusts. Like, yeah, it's really, really interesting to see.
I think Finn is really fired up. He finished last season pretty upset in Monson End. So he'll want to come out swinging and try and be the number one guy of the team. He's never really held that position, so he'll definitely want to be that guy, and Luke wouldn't like that, so it'd be good if they were going 1-2 just to fire things up for the other races.
Yeah, that would be cool. So yeah, as well as Jordan Jackson, there's the Mayer Smith brothers, there's Jacob Jewett, who's had a great start to the season, Oshina Callahan, Ethan Crack, who's coming in hot after finishing the season with second in Mont Saint Anne and then proving he can do it on the Scott by taking victory in a packed field at the Portuguese National in Sayre. Who do you think is, if you had to pick one, let you just pick one each, who's the best young rider coming through outside of Jackson and Jordan?
Ethan, probably. he doesn't say much, but he lets the riding do the talking. And him and Rich have already been up for them, do some training. So for him to beat Lloyd by 1.5 seconds or whatever it was at that race,
yeah,
just shows he's continued that progression from Mont Saint Anne last year. So if he can stay uninjured and get through the season healthy, he's probably going to be pretty impressive.
Definitely. I agree with that. That track's almost like, if it's like anything, it's almost like a little mini Fort William. And Ethan didn't just do that in the race run, but nobody got near his seeding time either. So it will be interesting to see how he goes.
Go on then, Emmy. You give us one pick, one name.
I don't know, I'm a fan of Origin, so I'm going to go with him because I just like his attitude, I just like his approach. And when he won the World Cup and when the way he rides, you don't even, with Ethan, you feel like he's going fast. Like you see he's on the limit, but with Origin, when he's riding side, you see the green split and you're like, what? Like it's make it look so easy. And if he can ride closer to his limit, I think he'll be really close to the top contender. So I'm going to go with Ocean on this one.
Cool. Well, at the other end of the spectrum, some of the greatest riders of all time joined new teams this off-season. Firstly, we got the GOAT, Greg Minnaar, moving to Norco. He's 42. Last season, by Minnaar's standards, was a bust. I think if it had gone well, it would have probably been his swan song and he'd have continued as an ambassador for Santa Cruz, but it didn't. So what realistically is a good season for Greg? Top 20 overall at a podium? Is that, am I underselling it? I know he'll want more, but
it's hard to say what's realistic. I imagine all he wants is to be on the podium overall, but to do that on a new bike and everything and change teams at 43, to even be racing World Cups at 43, something special. So not sure. I reckon a top 10 overall is probably realistic if he doesn't have problems.
Yeah. You agree with that, Emmy?
Yeah, I mean, he had a lot of issues last year, so he proved that he was there. He got on the podium, but if he get his consistency back, he can do top 10 overall. Quad. I think that's probably realistic, but I mean, first race is for William, so we're gonna know pretty fast because he loves that track, and if he can do it, even if it's early in the season, and I don't know how much time he had on the bike or how ready he is, because we all know how he needs every detail to be perfect to perform.
Yeah,
it would definitely be better than any other track for him to like get comfortable. So we're gonna know after Fort William where he stands, but I wouldn't rule him out for sure.
He posted a video the other week, and it looks like he's still on the mullet. So that would be interesting to see if he keeps that for Fort William, which is, you know, probably been the one track where 29 is still an option.
Well,
so next we've got Gwynny. Now on Gwyn Racing and riding Crestline bikes. I don't know if Aaron's going to be racing round one, but he could be, and who knows what Aaron could achieve. And then we have Danny Hart now on Continental GT. If I remember correctly, all Danny's best seasons have been on his second year on a bike, but he seems to be getting on pretty well with the GT. It's a podium bike win. Can you see him coming on strong?
Yeah, I'd love to see Danny win Fourlier just to start the season and to start with GT as well. It'd be a dream result for everyone, but it looks like he's put in more work this off-season than ever, maybe. So maybe I think that might pay off. And he's real hungry because he just got to a point where it's really hard to get a decent contract. So I think that carrot's really dangling in front of his nose, and it's going to push him to deliver a good result, or at least push on for that win, you know. I think that's what he wants. So it didn't really come together at all last year, so I feel like he's kind of due a good one.
I felt he was unlucky last year. Yeah. There's a number of races where he just seemed unlucky.
Yeah, he was always in the mix, but never delivered the result that he should have, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Out of those three, who do you think will have the best season? Greg Minnaar, Aaron Gwynn, and Danny Hart.
Danny Hart.
Danny, for sure.
Danny, yeah.
Yeah.
I think the other two have got so much going on now. Like, I don't doubt either of them as riders, but Gwynny's got, like, everything going on. Like, he's trying to ride this different bike and new team, and Danny's just going to, as Wynn just said, he's just going to be training and riding and sending it down the hill. There's not going to be anything else in his head. So, Danny, for me.
It's a big season for the 2020 World Cup overall champion, Matt Walker. Obviously, he took that title in 2020 and had a decent season in 2021 and 2022, including that winning Leagang. But 10th in snowshoe was his best result last year, and knowing Matt, I know he'll have been disappointed with that. I know it's hard, but he hasn't quite kicked on how I thought he would. I expected him to be kind of firmly established in that top 10 now, and I'd say he's below that. Would you guys agree?
Like, I'd never rule Matt out of a podium certainly on a track that suits him. Obviously, I know Matt really well, and I do think that he's one of those lads who, if he's not winning, he's not happy. So the longer it goes on where he's not having success, will he, like, maybe lose a little bit of love for racing at the top level? I don't know. I totally agree with what you just said. It's a big season for him.
Like, do you think he's missing having another competitive rider? I know he's got Greg, but it's not Jordan, is it, who was pushing him on times, you know?
I'm not sure. I think he likes having Greg on there, and I know that they enjoyed the team vibe last year, and I think he just needs it to click.
Yeah.
I think he's a little bit like almost like you said, Minnaar is. He kind of needs everything right to do the best.
I mean, he's very good. He's very good at Fort William, right? He's like...
Yeah.
That's the first time I ever meant, like, I remember very clearly the first time I've seen him was when he was like an under 15 or something at Fort William, BDS.
Yep.
And he was riding times, like, I was like, well, who's this? Yep. And he was still tiny at the time. But yeah, I think he'll be hungry on this track. So he might get a top 10 and get it going. So he's, if you won the overall, you can do it again. So hopefully.
Yep.
He's still very young, and we always forget about that. So
yeah, it feels like he's been racing forever, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So
back in 2017, Matt was the junior world champion, and beside him on that podium was Joe Breeden. Interesting off-season for Joe, becoming a team owner as well as a rider. I think that's an incredibly smart move for him. Becoming a team owner at 24 is a fantastic achievement. But in taking that role on, can he still compete at the top level? I know Bernard's done it, but he's been running the team for so long. Jack, you've run a team as well. Can Joe do it in his first season? Can he come back into that? I mean, he seeded first at Val d'Isère? No, it wasn't Val. Yeah, it was Val d'Isère, wasn't it? Can he come back and be a top 20 rider?
Yeah, definitely. I also think it depends a lot on what infrastructure you've got around you. So I have to do about 4 or 5 roles myself. Whereas if Joe's got a team manager, mechanics, people doing logistics, then he's just riding, isn't he? So as far as I'm aware, he does have all that infrastructure around him. He's able to just focus on his riding. So he's a talented kid. We've seen that for years. He just needs a little bit of luck. He's come out swinging at Rayola. So let's see if that translates into a good result for William.
Okay. Another question for you all. Will Bernard win a World Cup this season?
Oh, my guys can talk about this.
I thought Emmy was going to give him a shout out at least.
Yes or no?
No, of course. He needs to win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's time. No, but like, come on. Like, if he needs to have a little bit of luck. Like sometimes on the track that he likes, like Léger, he never really, he was always raining at the wrong time and blah, blah. We all thought he was going to get lucky in Val d'Isère, and then he didn't in the end because he kind of like stopped raining at the wrong time. So he got lucky, but unlucky at the same time. So he has the speed, but he always, it never really clicks. And if Amaury doesn't pull the Amaury at the wrong time, then maybe this year is the year. We always go in as this is every race. I'm like, this is going to happen. Maybe it will happen, but at least I know he's going to try his hardest. That's always the guarantee with him. That's for sure.
Yes or no win?
I hope so, but I'm going to go with no. Because he's probably the only rider that's booking flights. He's only rider that's booking flights for the other team riders in the start gate. So, yeah, we're at Sea Otto the weekend. He's booking a flight while we're getting ready for the race. I'm like, whoa. And he's trying to do it on the phone, which is, like, equally annoying.
That's maybe why you guys jumped the gate and got a five-second penalty. Right?
Yeah, we would have won otherwise if we didn't book the flights.
Yeah, I know.
No, we wouldn't have won, but yeah, I think we got a penalty and it kind of ruined the race, but it's the Sea Otter downhill. It's not a World Cup. Luckily,
it's a mess.
You don't have to go at a World Cup because that would be quite difficult after years of going on five.
Yeah.
You think we should donate a gate to Sea Otter Classic so they can actually have a... Well, they don't have a decent track, but at least they have a decent timing system, you know?
Yeah, that would be a good start for a downhill race, to having a start gate.
Yeah. So where does someone like Troy Brosnan sit now? Let's ask, like, link it back to the other questions. Who's going to have a better season, Danny Hart or Troy Brosnan?
Ooh, it's a tough one.
Oh, my God.
New bike,
you almost don't want to answer that.
That's a hard one.
Yeah.
I'd probably go with Troy just for his years of consistency, but it hasn't been the same consistency lately. But that new bike, he's probably fired up. So, yeah. But then Danny is also going to come out swinging. So I hope for Danny, but Troy would be like, if I was betting, I'd bet on Troy.
Jack?
Yeah. It's a tough one. I think Danny. As Wynn just said, he's going to come out swinging. He's going to really want it because this is almost make or break for Danny. Like, he's managed to grab that contract with these guys at the death, and he's going to need a big season to secure something a bit more real. And he's going to come out going for it. We thought William being the first one, he's going to like that. So, yeah, I'm going to pick Danny on that one.
But, like, isn't the same for Troy, though? Like, I feel like he also needs to perform, like...
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, there's a lot of riders at Canyon now that will push, and Luca will definitely be strong at Fort William, and it will be maybe time for Luca to step up there. So Troy also needs to have a great season, because we all know what he's capable of in the past. And I don't know. I think maybe when you don't really expect Troy is exactly when he's going to come forward. So I might go with Troy on this one.
I think a lot of riders actually have their contracts up and. 25 for 25 season, because no one knows what's going to happen at the end of 24 for the 25 World Cup, how the system will even work. So nearly everyone's contract's up, so everyone's racing for a job now.
That will make it interesting. When give us some privateer picks. Who most impressed you last season?
Well, a lot of them are really privateers now, so it's hard to think of one that's actually still kind of privateer. Roger was still pretty kind of privateer. But he's been injured, so I can't put him in for the first race because he'll need more time than he probably thinks he needs.
Yeah.
He's going to be racing at Fort William, I think, but I wouldn't be racing if knowing what I know now. But I would be racing at his age. So I know how he feels. But yeah, there's not that many that like jump out at me at the moment. But I'm hoping that when we get to the race that there's some that come out swinging, even in the other categories, if it's in the juniors category or so on. But there's not that many privateers that jump out on paper. If you've got any written down, George, then fill me in.
I haven't. No, I haven't got any. Yeah, I struggled keeping up with all the ones on Teams. So
I'm going to need some anyway because I've got the privateer thing running this season. So I'm hoping there's some good ones.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Juniors moving up. We've got Ryan Pinkerton, Bodhi Khan, Henry Kiefer, Leo Abella, Nathan Pontvian, and Kimi Viardot. We've talked about Ryan already a bit. If you could pick one of the other five for your team, Jack, which one would you pick?
All them are coming back into elite. Wow, like words every year.
I think Emmy's a fan of Nathan Pontvian, is that right?
Yeah, you know me.
I remember.
I really like Nathan. He's a bit unusual stature, you know. He's like very tall, skinny, long legs. But he's an amazing rider. He's just not that consistent. It was his last year junior, but like I know Dorval was like kind of hesitating taking him on, and it was just gonna be too much with five riders, but he was on the verge of getting a deal, and I think now he kind of chose to stay back with his original structure, which he really likes. So yeah, he's going to have not that much pressure on his first year. He could really, really pull something. So even though I think Ryan is a faster rider, like in his raw speed, I think Nathan has maybe even like the same or more potential in the long term. So yeah, really skilled rider.
Yeah, I could see him pulling a top 10 this season at a certain race if it goes well for him.
Well, what it says.
After last season, there's a lot of riders on one World Cup win. Finn Isles, Laurie Greenland, Andreas Kolb, Matt Walker, Benoit Coulange, Jordan Williams, Ashina Callahan, Reese Wilson. I suppose Reese has got two, really, only because he's got world champs and a World Cup. Plus, there's Brooke and Blenky and Remy Tyrion and Charlie Hatton, obviously, with his Worlds win. Bit of fun. Who's going to be the first to get two? And Wynne's just turned the camera around to Blenky, who's sat in the back of the van.
Yeah, well, he's chasing the 100 grand. There's 100 grand from Gates if he gets a World Cup win. So, maybe he's a bit more motivated than normal.
Yeah. Well, we can't hear Blenky, I don't think, can we?
What have you got? He's giving it everything he's got for the 100 grand.
There we go.
Yeah.
Who's going to be the first out of those to get to two, Jack?
Finn.
Emmy?
I can't remember when you said, but yeah.
Charlie Fort William.
So the next question is, Jack, you picked the winner at a lot of rounds last season. Who are you going for in Fort William?
Well, I'm gonna go against what Wynne said, and I'm going to say that Omri's going to come out swinging, and Omri's going to win.
Yeah.
Love it.
Go on, Wynne, give us a name.
All right, Laurie.
Emmy, are you going, Charlie?
Well, yeah, I'm going Charlie. Yeah.
Really? You're going back to back?
Woo. Yeah, I love Charlie. She's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
Everybody's got like surely not back to back, and you'd be like, maybe.
And yeah. I'm tempted to go with Charlie as well. I hope he can do it. And give us an outsider who will do well.
Danny.
Is Danny an outsider?
Yeah. He shouldn't be, but he maybe is. I'm
going Jack Redding in the Big Show. That's my outsider.
I'm just on holiday, mate.
I thought Jack Redding retired.
I have done.
Yeah.
But it's like holidays racing bikes.
Having his best results ever since he retired, Wynne.
Yeah, so he's just making a return, or we haven't seen the press release that he's gonna be returning.
I'm definitely not returning, but I'm racing, if that makes sense. My wife was giving me crap about this the other day. She was like, I thought you've retired. I was like, no, the best way to describe it, babe, is it's like going to work and deciding whether I want to do any work or not. Like, I went to Rio, I did my seeding and was like, no way am I going up there to do a race run. I don't want it. I don't have to anymore. So for William, I've decided I want to do it. We didn't do it last year. Obviously, it was World Champs, so I wasn't there. Whereas Leo Gang, I'll never ever go there again as a rider. I don't want to. So we'll do it. So my plan this year, my loose plan is Fort William and Loudonville, because Loudonville was so fun. I want to ride that track again. So it's, yeah. My main focus at Fort William is to be on track with Nuno, to help Nuno get up to speed. And if I decide I'm enjoying it and want to race, then I will. But it's nice.
You'll be racing.
He'll be racing.
If it goes to plan.
Give us an outsider.
Antoine Pierron.
Good one. Okay, cool. We also need to mention Pole filing for bankruptcy, which leaves their two riders, Onni Rainier and Dan Slack, in limbo right at the start of the season. And we hope they can both get something sorted out. Okay, we'll take a quick break and we'll be back to discuss the elite women after these messages.
My name is Amaury Pion and I asked Trailby to develop the best downhill tire ever.
Amaury asked us for something that offers an edge over Magic Mary.
We are all looking for something new, I guess. We needed something for more precision. So from that, we just worked all together to make it happen.
Being fair, actually, the team started the development. Maxime, he started to cut down a big baddie and try to get it into shape to make it work.
The grip is just perfect. The tacky chain just gives you the best precision you need.
It just gives you a lot of braking traction, safety, and corner hold. It's like riding on rails. So if you're an active rider, it's super rewarding. If you're a passive rider, it's still a fantastic time.
If you're enjoying the Making Up the Numbers podcast, hit subscribe now so you don't miss an episode. And drop us a review whenever it's convenient. For additional content, follow us on Instagram at Making Up the Numbers Racing.
This is Tim from Revolution Bike Park, and after a year of being closed, we are finally reopening our doors this summer. Now, we're doing things a little bit different this year, and there won't be an uplift, it'll be a push-up and ride-up venue only. Now, we are flat out, as we speak, rebuilding and refreshing some of your favourite tracks on the hill, and we've also built a new push-up and ride-up track, which will make your trip onto the hill a little bit easier. As well as being a more gentle climb onto the hill than the uplift road, this track is perfect for those of you with e-bikes wanting to get the most out of your day. Bookings are available now via our website, revolutionbikepark.co.uk. And for those of you who are wanting a full summer of riding, we also have a summer pass available in our shop, which gives you unlimited riding for the entire summer. The park will be open from mid-July to mid-September, and all the details are on the website. You can also find out more information and follow along with our rebuild journey on our YouTube channel. Just search for Revolution Bike Park. We cannot wait to welcome you back onto our hill, and we hope that you're going to come and join us for a summer of shredding.
Last season in the elite women's category, we had four winners. Valley Hall took four rounds, and with it the overall, winning the final round in Mont-Saint-Anne by 13 seconds. She also took Worlds. Marine Cabarrou took two rounds, and Nina Hoffman and Rachel Atherton won each. So let's start with Valley Emmy. Back on YT, it's a big move for her, but there hasn't been that much press about it, really. I thought there was going to be a lot more press. She starts the season as favourite, though, right?
Yeah, of course. Of course. I think she had a good preparation. We've actually hung out a little bit this winter.
Yeah.
She's been in Switzerland quite a bit all around. So, yeah, I've seen her last week. And she's been riding with Cam here on our home downhill track as well.
Yeah.
It's been always a little bit wet. So, we have this saying that when Valley's around, it's always raining. So when she was coming here, it was raining as well. But yeah, definitely, like, from her age, her trajectory, like, she's towards her peaking. So yeah, it's definitely now with the deal that she has, like a proper deal, probably the best deal out of a downhill woman in the history of downhill. So maybe back to Missy. But yeah. Yeah, definitely cool to see that happening. And yeah, she'll be the favorite for sure.
Tell me a bit about how that dynamic works when you've got the two of the top three female riders training together.
Yeah, like it's like Cam is always someone that outside of racing, and Vali is the same. Like when Vali's at the race, she's a bit more like for herself, introverted, and she needs to be on her own bubble.
Yep.
And Cam is very much more an extrovert. So outside of racing, there's literally like a very good dynamic. And we were together in New Zealand as well. And we arrived a bit earlier. So Cam was taking Vali down on all the trails, and they kind of pushed themselves. And it's like this in downhill, I think, like the woman knows that they want to like push that level of riding, and they can only do it, and it works better when you do it with each other. So obviously at the races they're not going to probably ride together, but outside that's a plus for both. So
yeah. Do you think Valley's becoming a bit like Rachel now, in that everyone admires her but people also love an underdog? So people don't actually kind of want her to win. I was at the National the other week and Neil, my teammate, said, Cammy's back, Miriam's back. Hopefully they'll get some wins. And I almost just got this vibe that she's kind of expected to win almost Valley now, like Rachel was.
Well, definitely, like, I was there when Rachel was winning 16 in a row, and it's not nice. Like, it's amazing and out of this world what she did, but as a competitor, as a fan of downhill, it's not really what you want to see.
No.
So obviously, like, there's a lot more talent in that field. And of course, she's like in full confidence right now, but anything can happen. And if everybody's at the peak, and which will maybe take a little bit of time for Cam and Miriam to be at the top again, but there's also the young guard that's coming up. So hopefully there's going to be some challenge there. But I think, yeah, it only also depends on how Vali is handling everything. And she's been dealing with pressure much better. So I know she's working with a sports psychologist, and now a lot of people do. So yeah, if everybody has the top, it's going to be close. But obviously, I don't know how much time it's going to take for the older ladies to reach that top level again.
Yeah, Rachel's, she hasn't announced a retirement from World Cup racing yet. If she's going to line up this season, you'd have to think it will be in Fort William, wouldn't you, Jack?
Yeah. Do we know if she's racing or not?
No idea.
Yeah.
I hope so.
We've been talking about it, and we were like, what is she going to do? And I think she's been riding a lot. Like, of course, like Bernard, Jenna, and all my team is like around the Addison Bike Park now. So they, in Dovey, so they've seen her all the time.
Yep.
But I think she doesn't really like to be away from her daughter as well too much. So if she can have her there, maybe she'll race, but she'd definitely be a contender if she does.
You'd like to see her back on track when?
Yeah, it's always exciting when she comes back, and pretty impressive to see what she did already last year to win a race. So I bet she wants some redemption of the way Fort William finished last year.
Yeah.
But she'll never probably say that until she's like, oh, okay, I'm going to race. And it'll be a last minute decision, I'd say, but she probably already decided months before in her head, but just doesn't want to tell anyone.
Yeah. So Miriam's on the comeback trail, but only jumped back on the downhill bike this week, I think. So you can't expect too much too early from her. Cammy's also on the comeback trail, and obviously a lot further down that trail than Miriam. In the last episode, I think you said Cammy will build throughout the season. I mean, is that still the case, or is she coming in strong for Fort William?
Well, she's definitely strong. Like, I think on all the tests that she's done, physical tests, she's on the same level than before, but it's still so different when you come out. Like, from last year, she was really, really like up to speed. And I think Lenza Hyde, she kind of like went into a too much consistent mode in final, but I think her raw speed was like winning level for sure. And she got a little bit surprised, but ratio, but I think she was the fastest rider out there. And this year is definitely different. Her raw speed is a little bit not as high as she was, but I think we shouldn't underestimate Miriam. Now, I had a talk with Cam about that. I think she had Miriam on the phone, and Miriam is going to try to race Fort William. And, you know, we all know how Miriam rides. Like, if she's racing, because a thumb injury is like, of course, it's maybe going to hurt, but it's not going to prevent you to go fast. It's going to hurt the way. If you ride slower, it might even hurt more. So I have no idea what these two are going to do, but if they get into the right headspace and the right feel, they could definitely contend. But I think Nina and Vali will be both like really, really strong for Fort William for sure. And Rachel, if he races, and Tani. And we've been making the list. It's going to be insane. Like, there's going to be like at least 8 or 10 women for top 5. So it'll be cool.
So I was going to mention Nina next. It's the third season on the Syndicate. She won the Fort William National last year and had a really strong finish to 2023 in the top 3 at each of the last 5 World Cups, including that win in Andorra. She's established herself now both on the Syndicate and in the top 5, hasn't she, Rich Jack?
Yeah, for sure. It's like, and as Emmy just said, she's strong at Fort William. So yeah. if you know, if anyone's going to give Valley a real run for her money there, I think it's her. So it's exciting. And it's cool that, like Emmy just said, like, it's not a foregone conclusion what that podium is going to be. Like, there is going to be a good fight for those places between however many women. So, yeah, it's exciting.
When Marine Cabarrus also had an incredible finish to the season, winning two of the final three and coming pretty close to pushing Valley in Mont Saint Anne before crashing out. Do you reckon Marine could be a dark horse for the overall?
Yeah, I think for sure. She probably is back in form to where she wants to be. So I think it'll be hard to start at podium, maybe for her. Not the strongest track, maybe for her. But as the season goes on, she should probably do pretty well. I'd pick Nina for podium just to start the season off. I feel like she hasn't ridden how she probably should yet at podium. So I think that's still to come, you know. But you have to do everything on the day, and as we all know, it's pretty hard.
If there's a top three or four there, where do you think these young guns, Jess Blewett, Gracie Hemstreet, Louise Ferguson, are going to fit in? Are they pushing?
Man, Jess could win a race, like, and also so could Gracie. I feel like Gracie had a little bit of trouble since her concussion last year, and she has raced a little bit on PW race there in Canada or Northern America, and she wasn't up to speed yet. And for her, it's like, she's someone that takes it quite easy. Like, she's steady, a steady rider, maybe a little bit opposite to Jess. So maybe it would take a little bit of time for Gracie. I don't know. She's also strong at Fort William. Maybe Jess, she got injured there, so I don't know like how she's gonna feel. But Louise, man, Louise is a local. She's the home. She's the real home hero. So I know she's on a team. She's on a new bike. She has Casey Till, which was our mechanic. He's gonna be her mechanic this year, and he's a very good mechanic, so he can help her like do everything. But yeah, Louise has been confident since Hardline. She did something incredible there. So obviously it's not Hardline. It's a completely different track, but she's performed in Fort William in the past. I know she was ill for Worlds and she did got fourth. She was like stopped by someone in a roll gap and she got fifth last time at the World Cup. So if she get a decent run there, she could definitely be a podium contender on that track at least. So yeah, it's going to be anyone's game really.
Yeah, Tani's also on the comeback trail and she's got Phoebe with her. Does it help having someone to ride with in the women's field? Had a male elite rider with her last year, I think. I think a few of them do that. Is that something that's continuing?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if he can get in because of the point and everything. He's actually the suspension technician.
Right, also. Okay.
So he's riding to help her as well, but it's mostly also to like get a feel for the bike and do the right adjustment on suspension. So he helps not only Cam, but also Benoit and everyone else.
Yeah.
But I remember from my times having first Emeline Hago on the team in Insane and also having Florian Pugin after that Scott. That's like when I made the most improvement, was riding with Florian because we had different strength and she was like amazing to ride with. And like for Phoebe to have Tani with her experience and for Tani to have Phoebe there with that all that energy and that technical skills that she has and Tani's work ethic, like I think Phoebe's a really, really, really strong rider at Fort William and so is Tani. So it really depends from them, like how they approach the race and how good it goes in practice and everything. But they're definitely both very strong there as well. So really incredible.
Well, quick shout out to Hattie Harnan, who got a stick through her foot in Riola. Looks like she's on the mend and hopefully racing Fort William. Last season, Lisa Bauman, Gloria Scarzi had breakout seasons. Elena Farina's on a new bike, but he's very capable of smashing podiums out, as is Monica Hrasnik. Veronica Widman ended the season with third in Mont Saint Anne, which should give her some confidence. There's Millie Johnset, there's Annie Newkirk. It's a much stronger field, I think you said that before, Emmy, than it was 5 years ago, isn't it?
Yeah, but there's also a lot of injuries. Like, none of them riders that we've mentioned now have been on the full potential.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, now everything is coming together and it looks like everyone are kind of, you mentioned Hattie there, but everyone are kind of like a strong preparation. Gloria and Lisa as new contender. Like Lisa was already quite strong last year. I think she crashed at Worlds in the final race, but she was on a top 10 course. And Monica had this, the only one that was injured through the season. She had a knee injury and had an operation. So she might take a little bit of time. I think she also kind of dislikes Fort William. So it would be harder for Monica. But for sure, all the others are very strong, and also Veronica had a strong finish. So it's much stronger field. And there's also like some young people coming up. So
yeah.
I don't know. Like, it would be very hard to predict.
Junior's moving up. I think it's just, well, the main ones are Valentina Roa Sanchez, Lisa Bouladou, and Amy Kenyon. Which of those do you see finding the feet first in the elite women's category?
I think Valentina, because she won the overall last year, but she didn't have the strongest of seasons.
Yep.
And I think she was almost stronger in the first year, and she had a lot of trouble on the second year and still wrapped it up. And she's a very, like, focused, committed rider. Lisa is also very strong, but I think she's more like taking it easy for her first year. As is Valentina, I know she want to come out swinging.
Yep.
So yeah, it would be cool to see South American rider really like come up and battle with it to 10, which we haven't seen in a long time. So that would be exciting to see.
I think Marcelo Gutierrez was probably the last one.
Yes.
Yeah. So
winner.
Right, win, Jack. Give us a winner in Fort William then. Winner of the elite women.
Nina.
What do you say? Sorry, Jack.
I go. I
missed that one. Yeah, same. Nina.
Both for Nina. Do you want to do a pick, Emmy, or are you, is it too close to
Valley?
Valley. Okay.
This is a very different conversation to this time last year, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
This time last year, I was getting shot down by Emmy, whereas now she's
got it. No, because the first round last year was Len Zahar, so that's a different story.
Okay.
You know, and also she was half dead. Yeah. Cam was half dead in August. Obviously, it's different right now.
I'm going to go Valley as well. I think Valley. And an outsider who'll do well.
Phoebe Gale.
Louise Ferguson. Gracie.
Yeah, I'm going with Tani. But she's not an outsider. But
she's not an outsider. That's a disgrace.
but Jack called Danny Arn an outsider, so I'll take it.
True.
Right, we'll be back with the juniors after these messages.
Hi there, it's Jordan Williams from Specialized Gravity. We've just had a mega week ride some Spain, and our top group was here. We had Charlie Atten and Joe Breeden, so we had some tough competition, but yeah, awesome tracks, awesome uplift. There was some amazing views, and for sure the bike took a beating. So if you come along, make sure you bring your spares. But yeah, awesome week, awesome group of people. Andy's an amazing guy, and all the other people that are there helping out. Just, I couldn't ask for much more, really. Good laugh, and there's a pool there to jump in after a good day's riding. It's pretty cold, so good recovery. And yeah, there's some nice places to eat, so get yourself along, because it's a good laugh and good fun. Cheers.
Choose single track. Choose print. Choose digital. Choose an independent mountain bike magazine. Choose mountain bike culture. Choose adventure and mishap. Choose great stories and glorious photography. Choose ad-free access to our website. Choose time out with a mug of tea. Choose an annual subscription. Choose a monthly subscription. Choose discounts in our shop on a range of ethical products. Choose bobble hats. Choose hip flasks. Choose gift subscriptions for your friends. Choose single track salvation for your arse. Choose a username. Choose a community. Choose to support independent publishing. Choose your future and our future. Choose single track.
From the suspension experts at J-Tech Suspension comes WPS, an all-new brand focused on making the very best suspension upgrades, parts and tooling, all made in the UK. With a growing network of the very best suspension service centres in the UK and beyond, and drawing on years of experience, WPS is the best thing that ever happened to your suspension. To find out more, visit wps-mtb.com.
I have to say that the category I'm most excited about seeing in Fort William is the junior men. Last season's overall winner, Ryan Pinkerton, and world champion Henry Kiefer have moved up to elite, but still in junior men are your boys, Dane Jewett and Ryan Griffith, Emmy, Mike Hooter, Milan Falke, Oscar Griffiths and Christian Hauser. And joining them is some of the hottest talent I think we've ever seen come through in one go. From the UK, we've got George Madley. From the States, there's Asa Vermette and Ryder Lawrence. From New Zealand, Tyler Way, who was fifth at Crankworx Rotorua in the elite category. From France, on Commensal Muckoff, we've got Max and Till Alran, who last season at the National, I shared a gondola with Thibaut Ruffin, and he told me, I think it was Max, had done a 4.35 on his fifth ever run down the track at 15 years of age, which is just insane. What's your fastest time down Fort William, Jack?
Can't remember, but it's probably more than that.
Yeah. Win?
Yeah, it's definitely more than that. I don't know the exact amount, but yeah.
They always tape it differently when he'll have gone a short
track
or
whatever. Must have been running slow, yeah. We did it in the wet, Jack.
Yeah.
It was headwind. Really headwind. Muddy.
Feet like French lines.
Have you guys ridden with any of these juniors?
I try not to. They're scary.
Yeah.
Not much. But there's quite, it's just going through this whole list. It's actually insane. All the categories for William.
I don't want to go. I might still, yeah. Change my mind.
And not many of them have been injured recently. So it's like everyone's coming in healthy almost, apart from, say, Asa. But yeah. Then Nico said that he's most likely going to be racing for William. So,
wow.
Hey.
What?
He should be good, yeah.
Wow.
He's kids already riding the e-bike and back into it. So he wants to be racing it for William. But
Will's
it? It's surprising you can do that after a month after breaking your hip.
I just think it's going to be so interesting seeing all these guys come together and race, because you've seen them all kind of individually all over the world, you know, winning their races in their own countries and stuff. I think it's going to be so cool seeing them together. Asa looks like an incredible talent, doesn't he? Is he the hottest thing coming through, would you say, Wynn?
Probably, yeah, but New Zealand's got Tyler Wade, Ollie Clark and Luke Wayman, so the Kiwis are going to have something to say about it, I think.
Yeah, and in junior women, last season's overall winner, Valentina Roa Sanchez, we just talked about, she's moved up to elite for 2023, but the 2023 junior women's world champion, Iris van Leeuwen, remains, along with her compatriots who made up that Kiwi podium at World Champs, Sasha Ernest and Poppy Lane. Muckoff Young Guns have Heather Wilson, who's the UK, probably the fastest junior woman from the UK we've had for a while, probably since Phoebe. She set the second fastest time of any woman at Riola, at the Riola National a few weeks ago, behind Phoebe. Give us your thoughts on junior women, Emmy.
Yeah, it's going to be also exciting to see, because they all stay, like all the Kiwis stays into this category.
Yeah.
And they always battle to each other. They are very close. Also, when we were in New Zealand, like they were close to Jess's time. And they also, we know how fast Jess is. And I rode with Aries quite a while, and she got a monster now. So she got the common cell deal, and it's cool to see that happen. Obviously, Shasha is on Trek Factory, she has all the support, and we'll see how Poppy Lane goes. But obviously, there's also some of the French women that are still there. Lise Bonheur she's a second year junior, and she podium, I think, in Léger, and she's very like a little bit under the radar, but I think she could also do well this season. She was a European champ last year in the juniors. So the French has maybe a few coming up. I don't know. So they always kind of have fast young people under their sleeves. So junior women's going to be, I think it's more like the times that they'd be riding last year was already sometimes like top five times in the elite. So it's going to be the same this year, or maybe better. So that would be really, really cool.
Tell me what you know about these two Ostgaard sisters, Taylor and Aletha.
Aletha.
Yeah.
Aletha.
Yeah.
Aletha.
So, yeah.
So they were both signed to Transition, but then they both parted ways and announced that they were going on their own. Any idea what happened there?
So I just got confirmation you know something, Wynn.
I don't know if we'd get the full story from both sides, but yeah.
Do you know anything, Emmy?
No, I just got confirmation that they did part with, but They're both sisters, yeah. And they're like probably have a strong family behind them, and yeah. They have probably have good support. And sometimes I can see with our junior, sometimes like for us it works quite well, but sometimes it's better to go separate ways when things don't align. So
yeah.
What I know is that they both had a strong Taylor podium last year, and it was her first kind of like World Cup season. And Aletha, she won't be riding in the juniors yet, but she's very strong. She was like almost riding, like she was faster than Nina at the US Open last year in Kuali, and then Nina got a little bit upset and got her back, but she's a very, very strong rider. So if you can contend with Nina at 15 years old, I mean, we all know that at the ladies get like 15, you're already grown. Like you're like, like you're the same size. I was the same size as 11 that I am now, you know? So it's, you're not going to grow much, but obviously like she's going to gain experience and it's going to be crazy when she comes into the junior in 25.
Right. Is there anyone who isn't excited? No,
I'm not excited at all. I said it's going to be exciting and interesting about like 20 times already.
Honestly, I just need some sleep. Like I caught on yesterday and was like, shit, are we going to Fort William next week? Like, yeah, I couldn't be more far away from being ready to go to a World Cup, even like as a team manager and a coach, never mind trying to ride the track. So ask me again on Monday. Yeah.
When are you heading up there, Wayne?
Probably head up maybe Monday, I think, but got to pick up a new mechanic on Tuesday. So yeah, bit of a mission, but definitely excited, but I wouldn't say I've done much prep. So I'll just get on with it like Jack, but he seems like he's done a lot of prep. So,
Are you riding, Wyn?
Yeah, I'm racing, but I wouldn't say I've done that much prep. Maybe like Jack, but maybe not unlike Jack. Jack seems like he's been on the bike a lot. So yeah.
I have to be. Honestly, it's an ideal situation to be in. I call it participating now, Wyn.
Yeah.
I nicked that off Matt Walker. I think I told you this, Emmy.
I'd call it training, but it's not.
I mean, at the race.
Yeah.
It's just a participant. You're making up the numbers, Jack.
That's it. That's it. Jersey, George.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be making up the Monday numbers for you, George. So don't worry.
Cool. Well, I'll see you all up in Fort William. I think I'm headed up on Wednesday night when I've done bedtime. I have a passed for. So I've got to do bedtime here and then I can drive up. So I'll be there on site on Thursday morning. In the meantime, thanks to the amazing sponsors of the show, Hope Technology, JTEC Suspension, Revolution Bike Park, Ride Southern Spain, Schwalbe and SingleTrackWorld.com. If you're enjoying the podcast, I'm sure you know what to do by now. Subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you've got a sec, please drop us a review. Alternatively, give us a follow on Instagram at Making Up The Numbers Racing or Facebook.com/Making Up The Numbers. We'll hopefully be back with another episode for Fort William next week. We'll see you then.
This has been the Mammoth production for Making Up The Numbers.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.